The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honours me, and he prepares the way, so that I may show him the salvation of God.
And our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Verses 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Father, guide and lead Helen as she speaks today, and help us as we listen to hear you speaking today. In Jesus' name, amen.
How do we live by faith? That was the question that I got as a title for this talk. Last week I was reflecting on hope and trust from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we used for a few moments the phrase, God of hope, I trust in you, allowing time for the Holy Spirit to be at work. This week in Hebrews 11 verse 1, this seems to be taken to a whole new level. It would appear that in order to have faith, we need additionally to be confident in what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Confidence and certainty are strong words. Other versions talk about the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, implying tangibility and action. In our readings, we've read about Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldeans to go and live in a tent. I found it interesting to read in David Pawson's Unlocking the Bible Omnibus, which I do recommend because it just goes through the whole Bible and talks about it in very straightforward narrative terms about what places were like at that time. Ur of the Chaldeans apparently was very prosperous. And archaeologists have found that they had two-story dwellings and irrigation systems and all sorts of things back all those years ago. So Abraham was leaving a very comfortable lifestyle, most likely, to go and live in a tent in the desert, which he did by faith, God's command. And indeed, if you read more of Hebrews 11, it's a wonderful chapter, I do recommend it. You read, for example, in verses 32 to 38... And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. And it all sounds a bit overwhelming. And their faith leaves us standing. As Ian said, we all have our difficulties and things that we're going through. But when we think about it, we live in a country that has a free national health service, a free education system, a welfare state. Most of us have not lived through a war, let alone persecution. They didn't even have any of the revelation we have in Jesus. They didn't have the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And yet those men went on believing, even though they never saw what they believed in. Faith to them wasn't just a one-off decision, but an ongoing trust that continued until they died, even if they never saw what was promised. Yet even without all the teachings of Jesus, they somehow knew that this life was temporary and that they were just passing through and looking to a better country, a heavenly one. They seemed to know in advance Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death will not exist anymore, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the former things have ceased to exist. And of course that is what we're looking to ultimately. It made me ask myself the question, how do we live by faith? Indeed, how do I live by faith? Many years I was introduced to a book by Derek Prince entitled Faith to Live By, where he explains the power of faith. It is a challenging book. I was reminded that there is a spiritual implication in every area of our lives. Areas of forgiveness, our finances, our food, our provision, our possessions, our relationships, our thoughts and our actions, and much more. And these spiritual implications affect us depending on how we handle all those things. It made me realise that the question, how do I live by faith, is really a whole sermon series in itself. I was reminded of our calling, first prophesied in Habakkuk's prophecy, but the righteous shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, and then fully expounded by Paul in Romans 1. I came to understand that if we believe in and have given our lives to Jesus and confess our faith, then we are a new creation. We have new life in Christ. And in Christ, we are the righteous. We are under grace. We are equipped in every way by the power of the Holy Spirit, whether we are aware of it or not. And we are enabled to live by faith. But it takes conscious action. And this faith will be challenged in the areas of forgiveness, our finances, our food, our provision, our possessions, our relationships, our thoughts and actions, and much more. I thought back to my own faith journey and how I'd come to faith through reading the Bible. I was reminded that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God, Romans 10:17. I can remember being taught at the time the importance of feeding my spirit on a regular basis with God's word so that my spirit would come into line with the Holy Spirit and thus inform my mind, my will, and my emotions. I liked the promise in the verse that faith comes by hearing. It is ongoing and grows as we feed on the word. My task is just to make sure that I open my Bible and read it. God does the rest. I often quote Proverbs 4, 20-22 to myself. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. So I came to understand that the word of God is my starting point and my ongoing daily requirement to living by faith. But that was only the beginning. I understood that faith had to be living and active. I now had to work it out in every area of my life, and that is where the challenge came, because I was no longer able just to please myself. I would need to take my eyes off myself and my situation and my needs and look to Jesus, because he promises to supply all our needs with something left over for others. We often talk about taking a step of faith, and that requires us to move into a place beyond ourselves, where we are consciously depending on him and his promises. I was reminded of something that took place in my life, a sort of situation that happened that reminded me of this phrase, he promises to supply all our needs with something left over for others. Now, I've probably told this story before, so forgive me if you've heard it before. But when I worked at Philip Morant, I was also a counsellor for Crewe's Bereavement Care. And after school on a Friday afternoon, I used to walk from Philip Morant, Malden Road, across to Wimpole Road, where the counselling rooms were in the co-op funeral services in Wimpole Road. And I used to walk along the road, and a colleague at work very helpfully told me that if I cut across Abbey Field, it would be a shortcut. I always allowed plenty of time, so I set off from school on this particular Friday, and I set off to walk across Abbey Field from the Malden Road to the Mersey Road, effectively, traffic lights and walk through. I don't know if you know Abbey Field, but it is a vast expanse of grass area all around the garrison, the former garrison area where they've now built flats, and etc. And I got to Abbey Field, and I thought, I roughly want to get over to where those trees are over there, and so I'll walk in this direction. So I set off. Now, it was a day in late spring, and it can become very warm in the afternoon, so I had a coat on that I needed in the morning, but I didn't need it in the afternoon. So halfway across, I took off my rucksack and my coat and threw my coat over my shoulder, put the rucksack on, and carried on walking. It then occurred to me that I'd put my phone in a top pocket of my coat that was quite a shallow pocket. I thought, I'll just check it's still there. So I checked, and the phone wasn't there. And I thought, I've lost my phone. And I looked behind me, and there was this vast expanse of Abbey Field. I didn't know whether I'd come from there or there, but I thought I'd better retrace my steps a bit and see if I can find it. So I walked quite a long way back, looking everywhere, and I just couldn't see this phone. And so then I set off and I thought, well, I'd better go to the counselling session at the co-op place in Wimpole Road, and I better ring them to tell them I'm going to be late. And then I thought, I can't ring them because I've lost my phone. And you can, at this point, I wasn't praying, I wasn't asking, I was just focusing on the fact that I'd lost my phone. And so I was still walking along and I was going in the right direction and I was sort of getting to the place and it was all going through my mind, and I thought, when I get there, I will just have to tell this lady, this lovely lady, who it was her last counselling session. She had done 5 sessions, were working through the loss of her husband, and she'd worked really hard, and she was lovely. And she had done 5 sessions, we usually do 6, but she said, I want to keep 1 session with you in reserve in case I need it. Anyway, I was walking along and I thought, well, when I get there, I'll just have to tell her that I've lost my phone and that I've been delayed because of that, and I couldn't telephone because I've lost a phone, and I don't know where it is. And it was at that point I heard this voice in my head, and it was distinct, and it said, you can't say that. That's her time, not yours. Park the phone. I'll look after the phone. You go on and do the counselling session. And you know, I knew that was God's voice, because usually with God there's a gentle rebuke about something where you're going off on a tangent of your own to do with what you want or what you need. So I carried on. And normally I'm there with the room all set up, 2 cups of water there, the chairs all in the right place, waiting. And of course I couldn't do that. And also because I was so hot and thirsty, by the time I got there, I thought I could really do with a cup of water. And the lady met me at the door. And she said, oh, she said, I thought you must have been unavoidably detained. She knew I was a teacher. I said, yes, I'm so sorry, I was. She said, well, I've got a cup of water for you. I thought you might want one. And, you know, at that point, and I was thinking about this, he promises to supply all our needs. My need was met. And the other need was met when I sat down and listened to her. And I completely forgot about the phone during that hour. Anyway, when I came out, I said goodbye to her, and I remembered, obviously, the situation I was in with my phone. And I thought, do I go back home and get the car and drive back to Philip Wright, in case I left it there, maybe? I sensed what I thought was the voice of God saying to me, go back the way you've come. And I thought, well, that's in the Bible. Elijah was told back to go back the way he'd come, and Hagar in the desert was told back to go back the way she'd come. Although we don't take verses out of context, I thought, that sounds right, I should go back the way I've come. And I got to the edge of Abbey Field, and I thought, well, vast expanse of green. I thought, I know I'm roughly heading in that direction. Do I go sort of that way or that way or that way? And I sense God saying to me, this is the way, walk in it. Don't look to the right or to the left. Walk this in this way. So I was walking on this way. I thought, again, do I just keep walking? And I kept walking, and I got to halfway across the field, and there, right in front of me on the ground, was my phone. This was by now over an hour later. There were loads of people around by then, and there it was, sitting there on the ground. Well, I was just overwhelmed with thanksgiving and awe and at this fact that my phone had been looked after while I was listening to this lady, and he promises to supply all our needs with something left over for others, and that is faith. It made me realise that is faith. It was interesting that a few weeks later, when you counsel for crews, you're not allowed, it's not part to share faith or anything like that. But she was a Christian, I knew that, because she had talked about it all in the counselling sessions. And I saw her later at a Christian convention in one of the churches around here. And she came up to me and she said, oh, she said, I just want to thank you again. She said, I have really, you know, moved on with my life, and I'm so grateful to you. And she said, I knew you were a Christian. And I thought, how lovely. But thought as well, I could easily have ruined all that for her if I hadn't listened to God that day. God just longs for us to look to him and seek his ways, and to do this in every situation we find ourselves, because he so wants to enable us to do the things that he has prepared for us in advance that we otherwise would not be able to do. And as we see the outworking of our faith, we are filled with thankfulness to him and awe of him, and he is glorified. Psalm 50 reminds us of the greatness of God, who God is, how everything belongs to him, and how he is waiting for us to turn to him, and how he warns us about forgetting him, and how he wants us to be thankful. Verses 14 and 15, which the lectionary doesn't sort of have all the bits, but it says, sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver you. And in fact, it's written in the first person. It says, and I will deliver you, and you will honour me. Derek Prince writes, God offers us no alternative to faith as a basis on which to approach him. Nor is it enough to believe simply in his existence. We must believe in his essential goodness. This takes us beyond mere theology into a direct, intimate relationship with God as a person, which becomes our guarantee of total provision and total security. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Ephesians 3:12 says that in Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we may approach you, Heavenly Father, with freedom and confidence. And so we ask that you enable us, each one of us individually, in all the things and situations of our lives, to turn to you, to look to you, to call on you, and to receive the faith that we need to live by, faith to live every day. Faith that takes us to that place beyond ourselves. Faith that knows and trusts that you promise to supply all our needs with something left over for others. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. How do we live by faith? Maybe you listened to that story and you thought, oh, that'd be nice if I could trust in God like that. Just want to point out that all through that story, even Helen hearing God speaking to her time and again, it was the words from Scripture, wasn't it? It was a verse from a book of Scripture. It was a piece from a psalm or whatever. So what we need to do, as Helen quite rightly said, is we need to open our Bibles regularly. We need to know what it is God says to his people. A friend once told me our blood needs to be bibline. We need to have the Bible running through our bloodstream. So can I just encourage you? It's one thing I sort of picked out of that, which I don't know, maybe Helen didn't even notice it, but time and again, it was the words of God from Scripture that came to her. Let's just have a moment of quiet as we listen to what God might be saying to us today. How can we live by faith?